Hi, no one. There's live football on. No one is watching live. Welcome to episode 346 of Mike West Podcast. I'm Jack, as always, joined by Casey.
Hello.
I don't know why I've opened the notes thing. There are none. I forgot we were doing this until a few minutes ago. We'll get Arsenal out of the way incredibly quickly because it's not the main topic. We got beat 4-0. I still haven't even seen the fourth goal.
Turn, finish.
Yeah. Just to get it out of the way, I was off to a stag do after the game, and I was going to, if it was nice and close and competitive, I was going to stay till the end, lush like fuck, and I think I'd have, it'd have been touch and go for making my train. But we were 3-0 down with 10 minutes left, so I went and made sure I got there in plenty of time. And for the 80 minutes before that, I'm not going to sit here going, oh, no effort, oh, no of it. No, Arsenal are a really bad matchup for us because our strength is we can physically get at teams and that can put them off. But Arsenal are brilliant at that and also just have better players. And they're well coached and they're really confident at the moment. And you look at their bench and with nine men, just the nine men on that bench, they'd probably get a point off some teams without having the extra two players. It's a bad matchup for us. And on top of all of that, I don't think we played very well. It was a recipe for a disaster all the way through. It isn't like when we played away, where we played into their hands by playing completely the wrong kind of football. This, we did the right things, we just didn't do them very well.
Yeah, it's that sort of thing of, one, obviously, you kind of want to minimise the number of corners you give away, which we didn't really do that.
It felt like they'd had about nine by the half-hour mark.
Yeah, I think... Frustratingly, I think there was that moment we won it back quite high up on the right-hand side that led to the Ampadu chance, which despite being on his weaker foot and despite him scoring goals, I still maintain might be the best effort I've actually seen him have. Mm. And I think there was a part you went, we can get into this there, you know, we could out, no. As it goes, no, they've just got excellent players. The fact that Bukayo Saka can get injured in the warm-up and you can just bring on Madueke and just go, yeah, same thing. It's all good.
Yeah. I mean, they had the majority of it. We were all right for like the first 15 minutes in each half. But, you know, we never created out of note, really. Their first goal, we do actually manage to clear the corner, but we can't get out. I will, seeing as that just did that, I will keep talking because for most people it makes no difference. The cross comes back out. They put in another good ball. And it's a bit annoying because it's Zubimendi. It's a bit annoying that it's like one of their smaller guys that gets on the end of it.
Yeah, I think when we spoke about it during the game, I think it was the frustration was probably a bit more that someone else didn't get out to them because they Madueke just stayed out there and I think he had the option to either drop it back another 5 yards and have someone else put it in. I just don't think we got the bodies out there. I think we just struggled to get reset from the clearance. And like you say, the fact it's Zubimendi who is the smart, although you know admittedly worst players would score in this game. I think it's been credited as Madueke now, hasn't it?
It has. It was a bit of a you don't ask, you don't get, and they've given him it, which, you know, fine, whatever. But yeah, the second and third goals were what really frustrated me, especially this one. Look, I don't need to say it again. I've been on the record a million times. I don't rate Caldalo as a goalkeeper. I haven't for a very long time. I do not profess in any way to be an expert on anything, especially goalkeepers. But I've just never rated him. He seems like it's perfectly fine to be backup. This is such shite goalkeeping. Like, I wouldn't expect a Sunday League goalkeeper to concede this.
Yeah, I do think it was interesting. Match of the day, Shay Given was on and he was saying that it was down to Calvert-Lewin being in front of him.
That's very much, goalkeepers union.
It very much strikes you as, I think in those situations, Caldalo should be shouting and Calvert-Lewin needs to be ducking out of the way.
Yeah. or just clear him out of the way and have some strength and dominate your box.
Yeah. He did also, like, because one of the, they did speak about the Arsenal corners, and we might as well, since we're on the topic, just basically say, look, no one really knows how to deal with these properly, so why don't teams just leave three up against them instead and just either, A, Arsenal still have the numbers there, but there's less space to crowd the keeper. Mm. Or there's less bodies to crowd the keeper, I should say. Or they have to leave three back.
Yeah. I mean, they still wouldn't leave back Gabriel or Saliba or Timber. Or...
Right. In this scenario, going off Leeds' starting lineup, who are the three? Like, who? Brendan Aaronson, and which other two are you leaving forward?
In that team, Aaronson.
Because Justin is smaller, but he is also a defender, so I'd back him in that situation. Gruev.
Aaronson, Gruev, and... I mean, it can't be Calvert-Lewin, so probably...
Is it Gabby?
It's probably Goodmanson.
Oh, Jaden Bogle, because he's the one that stays back when we have a corner, so I'm happy to leave him forward when we're defending.
Yeah, and also, Jaden Bogle and dealing with crosses might come up shortly. it was poor. But the, it's not the end of the world, but yeah, it was such a poor goal to give away. You know, he's picked Darlow now, and Darlow's for keeper, so I wouldn't drop him based on this, the same way I wouldn't have dropped Perry based on Newcastle. But he's just, how have we got four senior goalkeepers and none of them are in any way trusted? And the only one that I have any trust in is the one that's never played, that's played 45 senior minutes for Leeds, I think. And it was 15 years ago.
The spectre of Alex Cairns looms large over the goalkeepers. It's a tough one. I mean, admittedly, I assume we'll get into transfers in a little bit, but I'd never had any expectations that we were going to bring in another goalkeeper. No. The only saving grace is, I think, for this season, that Farker took action quicker than he did last year. Because, Darlow, if not already, he can't be far off playing as many games in the Premier League as he did last season in the Championship at this point. Because it wasn't...
Well, he didn't come in until April.
Yeah, so...
I think he might have already played more because Perry missed 3 or 4 due to injury. So, we get to half time. To be fair to Farker, he had to do something. You know, changes need to be made, and he did. That's weird. Sorry if you heard that in the background. I was just checking basically what happened for the fourth goal, and it started playing the Match of the Day theme because I'm on the BBC website. We went Longstaff for Justin and Okafor for Gruev. Went to a 4. Didn't work. I'm not going to. It was one of the options. As we both said on the preview pod that we wanted the two big lads up front. Metch is injured, so he didn't have that option. It didn't work, and that's fine. The third goal was pretty annoying. It was a Martinelli cross. I haven't watched the highlights back, but it's Gyökeres up against Bogle. Bogle gets into a really good starting position. He's goal side and ball side. He's in the perfect position to deal with it. And then Gyökeres moves him out of the way, or Jaden Bogle moves out of the way. In real time, from the stand, it looked like Jaden Bogle just got out of the way. I'm assuming he didn't, and that Gyökeres, a combination of good movement and being a lot stronger than him, just did for him. But it was a really poor bit of defending. I mean, if you're going to do that, do it in a game we've lost anyway.
Yeah. I think the frustrating side with that was we'd had, like you say, the first 10, 15 minutes, I think, of the second half, we retained the ball well, I think is probably the best way to describe it.
We definitely retained the ball better.
Yeah, but the best chance for us came from Strouk. Strouk actually finds himself in acres of space in the penalty area from a corner and just doesn't get the power on his header. But I think once that third goes in, Ellen Road becomes bollocks to this. Let's just have a bit of fun now. Yeah, then, yeah.
I mean that Stroud header is our only chance of the whole game.
Yeah.
I mean it was real poor. And yeah, the game fizzled from then. And I don't know what happened for the fourth goal because I had gone and I haven't watched the highlights back. It says it's Ødegaard setting up Gabriel Jesus for what it's worth.
Yeah, Gabriel Jesus just gets the ball, I'm going to say, probably edge of the box, and he just has Strouk standing him up, and he just turns a couple of times, not even fully turns, just turns a bit, and magically there is space for him to curl it in the corner.
Yeah.
The only saving grace of that was the chance of 3-0 down, who gives a fuck with Super Leeds, and we're staying up. Just turned into four, yeah. And we carried on as was. I think playing Arsenal, I think my realization was that kind of watching them this season, I found them quite boring just because one, a lot of it is set pieces anyway. But I think I said to you, it's the realization that they're just so efficient at what you do. And that's not a word I want to describe the football I'm watching. Yeah. You know, free-flowing, you know, graceful. These are words that I want to, you know, aggressive, maybe. But yeah, they just do these things. And it's not the Arsenal of old that could pass their way up a pitch. I don't know what it is. It's just dull. But it works.
Yeah, they are set up to play. Basically, instead of being have all the talent in the world, but have a bit of a soft centre, they now are a really efficient football team with the ability to play really well if they need to. They didn't need to against us. They just had his number. Hmm. Which is fine. It's done. I mean, it looked like being a horrific weekend when West Ham were 2-0 up. And I was very lucky because I saw it at 2-0 up, proceeded to be out drinking, and then didn't see until full time. So I was very happy when I saw that. It was a very useful result for us. Then Forest drew with Palace. I did also, I mean, they are still technically in it. Did you see any of Burnley and Sunderland on Monday night? Ooh, no. Burnley are bad. Ooh. I know Sunderland are a good side this year, and that's where it's happened again. I know that Sunderland are a good side this year, and they've, you know, they haven't lost a single home game in the league. They've been really good, but oh, Burnley are bad. Like, so if Sunderland had put six by them, you wouldn't have been shocked.
Yeah, I mean, without wanting to jinx anything, we've not really spoken about Burnley much in the discussions of kind of where we are. It's mostly been us, West Ham, Forest, and whether kind of Palace and Spurs will end up falling into it. Palace that you're kind of looking at this point. But
yeah, I mean, Burnley are like 100 on for a reason to get relegated. So yeah, before we get into Forest itself, deadline day has been and gone.
And oh, what a thrilling deadline day it was.
Well, I mean, I put on our Twitter, and it wasn't a joke, it was true. I put it on at like 12:30 in the afternoon or something. Deadline day excitement levels. I just remembered it's deadline day. It was true. Because I've completely assumed nothing was going to happen. That is what most people were expecting. I know some people got excited by the Strand Larsen thing, but that died down a couple of days before deadline day I was almost right because I said the whole time he's going to Palace because Mateta's leaving. It turns out he's going to Palace and Mateta isn't leaving. It ended up being the accurate thing. But the main thing is not doing anything really. And I would say in terms of a squad, Harrison out, Buonanotte in, while I think that that's a marginal, that is an improvement, I think, between the two players, you could say we haven't really done anything in January there.
Yeah.
One in, one out, and neither looks like starting very often. The difference is Harrison never was going to force his way into the side. There's a chance Bonanotte might.
Yeah, I think one of the issues that you have with the interest in Strand Larsen is that you're saying either, as I think we mentioned last time, either, oh, we nearly signed this guy, or genuinely, we do have 35 to 40 million that we have available to spend. And apparently there is no one in any of the positions who are either available or affordable.
Yeah.
Which I find a bit difficult to believe.
Yeah.
Now, I think the issue as well is that we've looked through, and especially these last couple of weeks where you're there going, you know, if Joe Roden gets injured, it's a problem.
Yeah.
If Gabby Goodmanson gets injured,
it's probably an even bigger one.
Yeah. And whilst I get that probably a lot of players don't particularly want to move in January to go be a backup somewhere else, the Forest clearly found a left back. Now, again, whether we were in for him, whether we had interest, whether he's even good enough at this point, I don't know. But you look at Palace were a bit more up. Palace brought in three, two permanent and one on loan. West Ham brought in a few.
Yeah, they brought in the two forwards, didn't they? Castellanos and the one that they got from Portugal, whose name escaped me.
And that's Pablo.
Yeah.
And Adama Traore as well. And then Axel De Sarzi on deadline day, who I just forgot existed.
Yeah, he was fully honest. He was fully in the bomb squad, wasn't he?
Yeah. And then, so just looking at Forest, so they get Ortega and Luka Netz in on a permanent deal, and Lorenzo Luca Napoli.
Yeah, Right, Lorenzo Luca as the first one. I want to make clear I'm saying this based entirely off Football Manager, really. He's a big shithouse striker. He is would sort of suit us based on everything I've read. I have no idea if he's good enough. In the same way that Luka Netz, the main reason I know him is he was a wonder kid on FM a couple of years ago. He was one of them that you did see talked up in the media quite a lot as well. The thing that makes me wonder with him is, one, when I first came up, I thought £2 million, that seems like something we should be all over, just as a gut reaction.
Hmm.
But Farker did have him at Gladbach. And it just makes me wonder, okay, either that means Farker didn't rate him, or it means Netz didn't rate Farker.
Yeah.
Either way, it probably won't going to happen. I still, you know, as a completely uneducated person on the subject, that was the one that jumped out at me. I also think that for like £500,000, Ortega's a right signing, because I think he's a good goalkeeper. I assume his wages will be massive, though.
Yeah.
Because he came in to be second choice, not third at Man City, but the second choice that they played a lot.
He was their cup goalkeeper, played a decent amount of the Champions League games as well. I think typically kind of once they qualified.
He even dropped Edison for him a couple of times, didn't he? Just when Edison wasn't in great form.
Yeah. And what was it? 500,000 because he was basically out of contract in the summer.
Yeah. I bet that however much money it was will have been remaining loyalty bonus. And it'll just be right here, that covers that, off you go. Now, I knew that we weren't going to go in for a goalkeeper unless we shipped probably two out, really. So that I ain't worried about that one. The left-back one, I really think we needed one, so that one narks me a bit. In the way that sort of Pascal Strauch is a left centre-back, But if you really needed him to, you could play him as the left wing back in an emergency. I sort of wanted the other way around. I wanted a left wing back who, in an emergency, could play as the outside centre back. Because at the minute, the backup right wing back is James Justin, and the backup left wing back is James Justin, and the backup outside centre back is Bornau or James Justin.
He's plugging a lot of holes.
It's, you know, we used to have it, and I mean, it worked out fine most of the time. We used to have it when we'd be looking at the depth chart. If you looked at a depth chart of every position for Leeds, it looked like we had loads until you realised Stuart Dallas was seven of them. And the defence is getting a little bit like that with Justin. And I think if we'd have been able to get a left-sided defender, like someone who can really play left wing back, then Justin's only really the backup on one side, and I think it balances the squad out a lot better. And if Goodmanson gets injured, I think it's basically, if just Goodmanson gets injured, we're probably okay. If Goodmanson and anyone else gets injured at the same time, trouble.
Yeah. I mean, in as much as well, we've seen Bornau a handful of times, and I think Bornau is probably fine to fill in as one of your centre-backs. From what I've seen, if you told me he had to play there from now until the end of the season, I wouldn't be thrilled by it.
No.
Like I say, the fact that we had either some money available or just wanted to throw in a bid to make it sound like we did, which I get it, it's exciting going, ooh, £40 million striker. You know, that isn't that great, but yeah, we kind of broke it down as some, you know, it's great and all, but one, if it backfires, it's a massive problem to deal with, not literally and figuratively, to deal with, and it still doesn't address any issues with the squad at all. But we have become something of a specialist of doing fuck all in January.
Yeah. And we've become a little bit specialist at going for these bigger names and it not happening. You know, the Cody Gakpo chases, the Chalder Cataleras. I know this it's some of the same people, but it's not all the same people. But it is...
You mean half the Liverpool team now?
Yeah, you can tell that a lot of them is getting pissed off. The basic thing to go about is we both agree that we're never going to get a keeper. We're neither of us are surprised. Given the signings for other teams and us not doing, has it sort of affected your confidence level about staying up?
No, if I'm being honest, purely because whilst I look at the signings they've made and West Ham went in, got two strikers in, clearly had a look at Nketiah as well.
Yeah, I saw that today. They apparently agreed a deal for him, but Nketiah did his hamstring.
Yeah, which I don't think speaks a lot of confidence. Bearing in mind that they play one up front, doesn't speak massive amounts of confidence of what they brought in. I can't say I've seen much of either. Someone signing mid-season from the lower end of the Portuguese league doesn't necessarily scream, you know, 12 goals between now and the end of the year. I could be wrong. Adama Traore is a decent Premier League winger.
He's incredibly wasteful, but that level of sort of physical gifts, if you're bringing him on...
those physical gifts that use a Mark Cucurella. Fantastic. Yeah, but like,
if you're 75, 80 minutes into a game as a defender and you're a bit knackered and Adama Traore comes on, that's never going to be a fun 15 minutes for you that's about to happen.
No.
It's why he'll always get chances. It's got, you know, Dan James has this to an extent that he just doesn't also have all the strength. There's no substitute for just being faster than everyone else. And as a defender,
arm or slippery.
Yeah, there's no what you can do about it a lot of the time.
And to be honest, like with the Palace signings, obviously Palace get Strand Larsen, that Mateta fails his medical at AC Milan, and as someone who clearly wants to leave anyway, I think they decided it makes the most sense. He gets surgery, pretty much rules him out for the rest of the season. Mm. Got Gesan in on loan as well.
Dwight McNeil didn't happen.
No, Brennan Johnson was a good signing. I think between the three other clubs, between Palace, Forest and West Ham, I think he's probably the best signing, just pure ability.
It's sort of a year ago I'd have been saying definitely he's had some real. I know that Spurs are a bit of a basket case, but he had some really poor games for them, and he hasn't started great at Palace by all accounts.
But even then, like Palace are still very lightweight. You know, they are still only a couple of injuries, and children are playing. And a January window was never going to fix that. And they're still in Europe.
Yeah.
They still have those extra games. And I think between that, I know Glasner's a good coach, but I think this whole run-up with him having a fallout with the board and kind of announcing his intention to leave. Mateta basically making it clear he wanted to leave. Gehi going because he was going to go on a free at the end of the season. It's a big upheaval there for a club that was, at the start of the season, you'd have been saying like they'd have been
top half fairly comfortably.
Yeah.
Like you're saying about them playing kids. Like obviously, Forrest went down to 10 men fairly early on in that game. It was like back end at first half, wasn't it?
Mm.
Palace then chase that game. They get, you know, it's 1-1 and they're chasing a winner. They brought Kostancic Suche off the bench. That's the only sub they made because everyone on the bench other than that was the subkeeper or the child. Like that's one of the situations where teams always make all the subs because they're just throwing everyone on and they didn't have anyone to throw on. I still think Palace will be fine because I just think they've got enough quality. And I think as much as they're a bit falling out with each other at the minute, they've got a really good coach. I am less confident than I was a week ago, but not by loads. Like it has, if I'd have been sat here the exact same, but we'd got a centre back on loan or a left wing back, I think I'd have been about the same. But I think a lot of it for us, basically, I think is going to come down to how's our home form between now and the end of the season. If our home form remains good, we'll probably be okay. If our home form drops off, we might struggle.
Yeah, I mean, again, when you try to rationalise these things, and I appreciate that is a dangerous thing to do in football. If you can win three of your home games, which one of them is, you know, of the games you would consider winnable, one of them is Friday against Forest. Yeah. You also have Burnley at home, and you've got Wolves at home. If you can win those three, and this Friday is obviously, I think, the toughest of those three.
Yeah.
But if you can win those, you're on 35 points. And that's, whilst there is that little bit in your head going, somehow we're going to get to 46 points and West Ham are still going to catch us up and we'll end, there is still that 6-point cushion, as terrifying as it was for a large portion of Saturday night when you saw them go 2-0 up. They still have a 6-point lead to overturn plus the goal difference. And you're only the saving grace of this weekend was that we were another game down and that had not changed.
Yeah.
Aside from boosting Arsenal's goal difference.
Yeah, and hurting ours quite a lot, which may be important. We don't know. But yeah, as I mean, I don't think we will win all three of those games because it's Leeds and that's just not the way it happens. But if we did, you take them out, 35 points, and you're needing, what, 5 or 6 points from your remaining 11 games?
I mean, you get those 3 wins and 3 draws between now and the end of the season. You're on a point per game.
Yeah, it sounds eminently doable, doesn't it? Which is terrifying.
It's so doable.
Yeah, it's so weird how I said this at the start of the season, and I meant it, and I stand by it because it is true. But, like, when you're at the top of the league, draws kill you. When you're at the bottom of the league, draws are your friend. Because any points are good points. But I do keep looking at a table where Brentford in 7th have lost the same number of games as us. and thinking, oh no, maybe I'm wrong. Because the Bielsa season where we came 9th, that's why we only drew about 4 games that season, didn't we? And that's why we lost a fair few, but we'd always get a win.
I think the thing I've come to realise that when you're in kind of our area of the table, it's going on these runs where you can say we've only lost 2 out of 11.
Yeah, which. Are we 2 out of 11 or 2 out of 12 at the minute? It's something like that.
You know, because again, the referral point that, you know, that we were all given and we kind of worked to at this point is the point per game. And if you have form like that, you are normally at, you know, 1.2, 1.3 at least from that sort of form. And it just, like you say, it's survival by 1,000 knives.
Yeah.
But it should work.
It is being weird, is this? Because that must have just done to me what it did to you.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I wasn't. Oh, okay. I'm on the other side of the screen now.
Yeah. It's fine. Doesn't matter. So we've mentioned it. Huge, huge, huge game Friday night. Have you seen the team news out of the press conference?
I was just looking a moment ago and I've closed it. The main thing I noticed was that Stack is out.
Yeah, there was a rumour that came from all the usual places, those specific accounts on Wacko, things like that, but it was out for a month. That's like last night or a bit before. And Fark has made it sound like it'll be a couple of weeks, so that'll probably be a month. still no Metcher. Justin's okay. Beall is back available. Dan James is making progress, but it didn't sound like he would be available.
Yeah.
So I suppose the key question straight away is, what do you do in midfield? Because if there's no Metcher, we're not going too big, lads.
No, I'm trying to think. They've been playing 4-2-3-1, haven't they?
Yeah. I would sort of, I guess, I don't know if they don't really trust Cells. That's why they dropped him for that John Victor. So I'm assuming Ortega's going to come straight in.
They dropped him, that goalkeeper got injured. So was it Angus Gunn that was in goal at the weekend?
Angus Gunn came on for Cells. I believe that that was another injury thing, which probably forced a hand on the transfer. But yeah, so I would assume it's Ortega in goal. I know it right back. Milenkovic and Murillo. Nico Williams got sent off, so Lucanet's straight in, probably.
Yeah.
Anderson with one of Sangare or Yates. Probably Sangare, because he started the last one and he played well against us at their place. Gibbs White behind Igor Jesus, up top, and then on the wings, two of Dominguez and Doi, Hudson-Odoi and Amari Hutchinson.
Sorry, it's just the way you said Igor Jesus.
Igor Jesus.
And a bit Irish on us there.
So yeah, it'll be 4-2-3-1 probably for them.
Yeah, it's kind of what they've gone with most of the season, isn't it, at this point? And they've got quite a good squad. Strangely,
we talked about it last time. The strikers are pretty decent, but it's for like three behind. We've got like 6 really good players for those options.
Yeah, It's what happens when you build a squad by just signing everyone for several years running.
Yeah.
You just seem to have a lot of players knocking around all of a sudden.
Like, I don't remember the specific number, but I did read that Stefan Ortega, since they got promoted, is their 14th goalkeeper that they've had.
Brilliant. they are they have a decent squad. I don't know where to place them at the moment because they went on a fairly poor run, apart from beating Spurs, but that sort of doesn't count at this point. And then they went away to Brentford and beat them fairly comfortably.
Yeah.
Where Brentford have had a fantastic record at home. They just have a decent squad. Like, I think it will be, it probably should be, by all rights, a very competitive game.
Yeah.
I mean, just looking, what are they now? They're
I like their attack a lot, as I said, and I like their centre back pairing as well. And that's a lot. I mean, if you've got good centre backs, good front four, and one of your midfielders is probably going to start for England at the World Cup. Like, that's the makings of a pretty good side.
Yeah. I mean, like you say, just having a look through their team again now. I mean, Elliot Anderson is kind of been of the child swapping for financial reasons, not trafficking, but.
Yeah. I've read a lot about that in the news lately.
He's one that's done very well since his move.
Yeah.
And like I say, I think he's a shoo-in for that team this summer. Elsewhere, like you say, the attacking options are very good. You're probably getting kind of a bit hit and miss when you're looking at Hudson-Odoi. It's probably the reason why he's ended up where he is more a consistency issue than anything. Yeah. But
because he's another one that, because he'd fallen so out of favour, they only paid about 2.5-3 million quid for him.
Yeah. And then, you know, they've been having, like, the last couple of games, Amari Hutchinson is someone coming off the bench despite costing about 30 million.
Yeah, it might even be their record transfer. Him and Dan and Doy were both, like, around the £30 million mark, I think.
Mm. So, this, playing like that, it would make sense that you kind of play the back three, but your right centre-back is kind of pushing up a bit further.
Yeah.
I wonder if we'll see kind of more of that.
Yeah, from just going off the way Fark said it, I think Biol is going to come back in. So in theory, it's back to Roden doing that job and Strauch on the left, which you do lose a little bit on the ball compared to Justin doing that job, but overall, that is a better back three.
Hmm.
And in theory, playing that way, it does free Bogle up to really go for it, which I think you were going to need. It'll definitely be Goodmanson, unless something's changed injury-wise. Will it be Calvert-Lewin Aronson again, or will it be Calvert-Lewin and someone else?
I think we might go back to the three.
Right.
I could see us going Aronson right and Okafor back in.
So who are you picking in the middle with Ampadu in that case? Knowing full well, by the way, I just want to say that Daniel Fark will pick Ilya Gruev.
I mean, there's not many options, is there? So it's pretty much got to be Ampadu, Tanaka, Gruev. They're long staff.
Yeah. I mean, if you pick a midfield three and a front three and a back five and two wing backs, that's 12 players.
No, that's fine.
That's a 5-3-3 that you've just picked.
No, it's fine.
I know it's late at night.
But... I've had a long day.
I mean, I think we have a chance if we pick that, to be honest. feels like there's advantages.
I said Longstaff, and then I went, hang on, didn't we play Longstaff, Grewevin, Ampadu the last time we played them? Or did Stack play? I don't remember anymore.
We were awful at that place.
We were dreadful. We were
truly dreadful at that place. It was that and the Brighton game were back to back, weren't they? And that was the, because that was basically the week that everyone went, fuck, we're going to have to sack him.
Yeah, didn't we follow this up with the defeat to Burnley?
Yeah, it was not good.
No, it was a horrible time, but we've recovered now and it's all totally fine. For me, especially if you play in a two, I don't think you can have Grewevin in there. But I completely agree with the fact that he most likely will, because he loves the defensive security.
I think the midfield will be Ampadu, Gruev and Longstaff. And I think he'll have basically Aronson with Calvert-Lewin. I think that I wouldn't do that. To be honest, I'm certain he's going to pick the back three. With the way they set up, I actually think you probably should pick a back four. I think this is one of the games where we should be in a four. I just don't think that'll happen.
Yeah, I drop Peru at 10.
Well, I look at Anderson, Sangare, Gibbs-White, as good a midfield as that is, and I feel like if you're picking a midfield three of like, this is more difficult without Stack. But if you were picking just Ampadu, Longstaff, Tanaka, I think you can match that up and do all right. It was easier with Stack, but I think it will be a three. I would quite like to see. I mean, I'd quite like to see Nonto up with Calvert-Lewin, but I don't think for a second it's going to happen. So yeah, I'm gonna go that it's the 5-3-2. Ampadu, Gruev, Longstaff, and Aronson up front with Calvert-Lewin.
Yeah, I really wish Tanaka had been able to follow up kind of those performances against Chelsea and that sub appearance against Liverpool.
The thing is, his starts, he's been pretty good. He's had a few poor games coming off the bench.
Because I think if you're going to do as a straight swap for Stack, I think he's probably more in that mould than Longstaff is. But with Longstaff, you get the set pieces and you probably get a bit more defensively.
Yeah, and that bit of physicality in midfield that we will probably need, which is why I think it'll be him. Plus, Harker just doesn't seem to trust Tanaka much this year.
No. As Jack Field says, it's ever since he's gone glamorous with his hairstyle.
Yeah. Yeah. It's going to be a really nervy one. I saw some people who were like, "Oh, Leeds haven't made any transfers. The atmosphere is going to be awful on Friday. It's going to be no. The atmosphere will be nervous, but that can go. The atmosphere will be really nervous for 5 minutes, and if we start well, it'll become a really good atmosphere. And if we're 1-0 down after 4 minutes, then it might go up. Then it might be a bit tetchy and awful." But because we are 6 points ahead of the relegation zone, I've said this about a few games this season. I can't call it must win, but it's pretty damn close.
Yeah, I mean, I do look at this and just, I can't help but look at this game and just think, if you win this, and it then by
such
some...
a good position.
And then by some miracle, Burnley beat West Ham.
Yeah, I will say, based
or
on...
Or even, that, you know what? I won't get greedy. I'd take the draw.
Yeah. What was it? How poor of a side do you have to be for like West Ham to be only just over even money away from home at you? That's how poor Burnley have been. Although I will say, at that price, I'll probably have some money on West Ham.
But actually, and then. I'm just looking at what else is going on that weekend. Palace are away at Brighton.
Yeah.
If we're bringing them into it as well. I mean, if we win, we're level on points with Spurs and Palace before they kick a ball.
Yeah.
It's a weird world we live in, man.
And, I mean, and Spurs are away at in-form Manchester United. I am refusing to think about Spurs and Palace in this, unless we go above them, and then I'll start thinking about them.
Yeah, it's if you can just win this.
Yeah, I really
just win. It's that simple. I've said it. Look, yeah. Just win. Easy.
Yeah, I'm just looking at their team. Gibbs White scares me because when I've watched us lately, we seem to have a bit of a problem with players dropping off 10 yards and just having a big heap of space in the middle. And he's pretty good at that. So he's probably the player of theirs that I'm most worried about going in. And because I still think we're quite vulnerable to shots from the edge. So I'd actually rather they play that Nico Dominguez on the wing, rather than Hudson-Odoi or Hutchinson or one of the more out-and-out attacker wingers.
Yeah.
But we'll see. So I think I would probably say that Hudson-Odoi versus Goodmanson and Gibbs-White versus Ampadu are about the two key duels. If we get the better of those two, I think we'll be all right.
You need a bit of shithousery.
Mm.
I think we're going to win.
Cool. I haven't got predictions of everyone yet because I, as I said, I forgot that we were doing this today, so I haven't messaged everyone. So I will have to tweet them out. But what are you going, Casey?
2-0 win.
2-0 win. I'm going 1-1. Just having had a look at Arsenal, no one got... little Danny got very close because he had 4-1. But there's the optimistic draws and then everyone being realistic about us losing. That game is going to just be huge. And yeah, if you win that, you can have... Because I mean, Chelsea away on Tuesday, then it's none of them are a free hit, but you can sort of feel like it is. If we beat Forest, if you don't beat Forest, especially if you lose, all of a sudden, all the pressure is on. That one team cushion that we've got between is gone.
It's not about teams between us. It's all the numbers. It's all about the numbers. The Royal Rumble, the Premier League.
Yeah. For 20
state
long
of the economy,
years.
It's all about the numbers.
Yeah. But yeah, that, I think, because it's, you know, obviously late and we haven't blanked that in, I think that will do us. I should mention when we were on about the centre-back things. Weirdly, Daniel Fack did mention Alfie Cresswell in the centre-back discussion.
Yep.
Which is weird. One, because he's never been in the first team squad. And two, because he's a midfielder. I mean, we've played him at centre-back in the 21s, but is he mixing him up
Charlie
with his brother?
Cresswell.
Yeah. Is he mixing him up with his brother? Maybe.
No, because he didn't speak that kindly of Charlie.
Yeah, fair point. But yeah, that will do us for episode 346 of My Works podcast. We'll be back in theory quite quickly because we play again Tuesday.
Yeah.
But it depends on work and stuff. I've been Jack, see ya.
I've been Casey, have a good one.
In a bit.